Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
What'd she say to you? You could tell me. No, what'd she say? Come on. Come on, be a cool guy. One thing. It's because you're afraid of her. Come on, what'd she say? Why? What's so private? What could be so private that's happened in this club? What'd she say?
I want to go.
Does she want to leave? Is she having a good time? What do you think? You are having a great time. Why? I've done everything I can to ruin that time. But yet you're having a great time. I'm too clean tonight. That's what it is. You know what I mean? You think I'm too clean tonight? Yeah? No rhymes, stupid. If I wanted to do rhymes, I would do it. What do you think? I don't know I do rhymes? I know I do rhymes, but I ain't doing them, right? So why are you asking me? What, am I a fucking puppet on a string? No! So once again, shut your fucking hole! Can't you control her? Just cause she smokes!
It is Hughie. Hello, and today's guest is Rich Bikini. I guess this could be called It's Hughie Hello Again, because if you're listening to this, I've got to admit straight off the bat, this is not a second interview, this is a re-release of the previous interview. Those who are maybe long-time listeners or just don't give a shit, I used to do a song pick or two of the week, and I've got to be just straight up and said, the previous episode got taken down because it used a song. I think it was a Beastie Boys song, I'm not too sure. So, as the YouTube numbers of this interview are doing pretty good, I thought, fuck it, I'll re-release it in podcast form just to cash in. Rich Bikini, Rich Bocini, as you may or may not know, former WWE commentary guy, was part of the NXT brand, now works for MLW, and is one of the co-hosts of the Raven Effect. And it is a great interview. I mean, Rich is very honest. He talks about his mental health issues of dealing with, the firing of WWE and all the kind of stuff that came with it. Also, it's not all serious. There's a little bit of talk on dealing with Raven behind the scenes. There's a little bit of just general back and forth, all that kind of good, fun stuff. But before we get to any of that, it is time for the plugs. Do not forget, as previously mentioned, if you want to see the highly viewed YouTube version of this in video highlight form, then go to Hughie Entertainment on, YouTube, of course, not Daily Motion. We have just passed over 10,000 400 subscribers. Also just passed 1 million views for Hughie Entertainment. Don't even know the name of my own fucking channel. Thank you for all the support. It's doing great every day. The Shuley interview is doing really well. And remember, it's all free. And if you want to help raise a view, all you've got to do is leave a comment, drop a like. That's it. Cost you no money. Cost you nothing. Speaking of YouTube, if you happen to be a fan of professional wrestling, then you should go check out Keeping It 100 Official on YouTube. That's the official YouTube channel for the fantastic podcast hosted by Conan and Disco Inferno. At the time of recording this, it has passed 28,000 subscribers and we are approaching, I think it's approaching 16 million, possibly 16 million by the time this comes out, hopefully. Thank you all very much for supporting that. If you're looking for me on social media, I'm at the Hughie on Instagram, at the Hughie on Twitter. Don't add me on Facebook. I don't really use it that much, and I will likely reject any friend requests I get. Want to help support me? Well, why don't you check out the not only the sponsors, but why don't you check out the Amazon wishlist? That's right. I'm greedy. I'm needy. I want, and you should give. And thank you for listening, and the plugs are over. I have to admit, I really, really don't like podcasting without being able to drop the song pick of the week. I enjoyed that part of it. I know how stupid it sounds, but it was really fun. But speaking of music and speaking of fun, up next is Mike Durban. Mike Durban, of course, has had some of the better podcasts recently of top fives. I've had him do top fives on me a lot. We talk about music all the time. But today, Mike Durban is here to talk a little bit of cinema. Mike Durban, let's talk Captain America. Call me Adam Hughes, the first reviewer, because today we're about to review Captain America, the First Avenger. But I'm not the only guy here. Mike Durban is here. Hello, Mike. I was wondering, what's your take on Captain America 1?
I love the Red Skull.
Well, Mike, I love this red review. Why don't you give a plug to all the listeners who may want to contact you about the intensity of this review?
You can contact me on Twitter at Mike Durban, D-U-R-B-A-N-D, and listen to the Mike Durban Show on this great network.
Let me just start off by saying adamandeve.com. More on that in a minute. I love free stuff. I think the perfect descriptional term for free is awesome. But free stuff to spice up your bedroom is even better. You know what I mean? Remember back when I said adamandeve.com? Well, now it all will make more sense. Select any one item for 50% off. And then on top of that, Adam and Eve load you up with the free stuff. See that? But all you got to do is enter the code HUGH, H-U-G-H, at the checkout and get 10 tantalizing free gifts. And that's right, I said the word tantalizing. Did you think you were going to hear me say that word? Well, get ready, because I'm going to tantalize you by saying tantalize again. Whatever you're into, whatever's your choices, you can maybe get a sexy gift for him, maybe a special gift for her, and I don't know, maybe a third item that you'll both enjoy. Let your imagination run wild there. Oh, and did I forget to mention, you get 6 free spicy movies. No, not Spice Girls the movie. Plus free shipping. Use the code HUGH, that's H-U-G-H. Offer code HUGH at checkout at adamandeve.com. I don't know why you're not using this code. Go get tantalized with the code HUGH, H-U-G, at adamandeve.com. Support to you for It's Hughie Hello is brought to you by Manscaped, which just so happens to be the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for your family jewels. Know what I mean? They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the movement for all your below-the-waist grooming needs. Everybody knows what it's like when you're trying to keep yourself clean or keep yourself special, you know, for that big night out. Just say you have to be going to a big concert, say, I don't know, AC/DC stadium show. There's about six of you going away. You know that, right, something's going down tonight, so I'm going to trim my hell's bells. Use the wrong thing, you're going to end up cutting your balls and you're going to be on the highway to hell, if you know what I mean. One of my hilarious jokes there. But that's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created. It's called the Lawnmower 3.0. Their third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to advanced skin safe technology pioneered by Manscaped. And when I tell you this is premium, I actually mean this is premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes, so you can take a longer shave. You gotta play it safe. You don't want to speed through that shit, cut one of your balls off. It's waterproof technology, so you can groom in the shower. It helps clean up easier. And one of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer, more precise trimming. They've also upgraded to 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. And let's not forget about the charging stand. Show off your mower loud and proud, because this intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB. And if you're listening to me speak right now, and I hope you are, I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself. Trim that drunk of yours. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HUGEY at manscaped.com. That's HUGHEZY at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. And just as a little quick reminder, get 20% off and free shipping when you use the code HUGEY at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com using the code HUGEY, HUGHEZY. And thank you for the sponsorship, and on with the show.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Want to buy wrestling merch but don't want to buy the cheesy or childish stuff the WWE puts out? Well, Collar and Elbow is the company for you. Collar and Elbow was founded on the traditional values of professional wrestling. Two entities working together to create a product intended to connect with people on an emotional level. A symbiotic relationship where one cannot flourish without the other. They strive to create a product that embodies their passion for professional wrestling through street fashion. Basically, it's wrestling merchandise that you can wear in public that doesn't make you look like a total nerdy mark. This is great stuff. I've bought a bunch of it myself. I wear it myself quite often. And when you go to buy it, don't forget to use the coupon code HUGEY. That's HUGHEZY, all in capital letters, to let them know that you heard about it through me. That's Collar and Elbow. Use the coupon code HUGEY. And do not forget to tell your friends, because this is the best merchandise company you're going to find anywhere. This fantastic five-star, unbelievable, history-changing episode of It's Hughie Hello has been sponsored by Blue Chew. Guys, let's be honest. In my opinion, 2020 going into 2021 has been a hell of a year, if you know what I mean. Right. Personally, I feel like I've aged 10 to 12 years over the last 12 months and grown. And if you're like me, you're feeling your age more than you used to, especially in the bedroom, if you know what I mean. It's time to snap out of it. Spring is here, and it's time to get sprung with Blue Chew. Boing. That's not a sound effect. That's just one of my incredible, incredible skills. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew tablets help men achieve harder and stronger erections to combat all forms of ED, which is erectile dysfunction, by the way, you floppy penises. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations about your small penises, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy, thankfully, and it ships right to your front door in a discreet package. The process is simple. You sign up at bluechew.com, BLUE, like the color, chew, like the chew.com. Consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription in days. And the best part, it's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. You don't like swallowing pills like quite a lot of us? No problem here. Blue Chew's sildenafil and tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, thank you, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. So if you can benefit from extra confidence when it comes time to perform, visit bluechew.com for more details and important safety information. And here's the best thing. We've got a special deal for It's Hughie Hello listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code HELLO at checkout. All you gotta do though is just pay the $5 in shipping. That's bluechew.com with the promo code HELLO to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring our podcast, and on with the show. Thank you, Mike Durband. And do not forget that if you want to see comedy, go check out Get My Go on YouTube. It's growing nice. It's getting good. The podcast is doing fantastic. Bigger than this. At the time of recording this, it just put out the 50th episode on YouTube with people like Sandman, Brian Pillman Jr., Francine, Nick Gage, I think that's the fucking guy's name. He's got teeth like fucking Freddie Mercury's arsehole. But thank you, Mike Durban, and don't forget to check out the Mike Durban Show on YouTube. It always helps. Time for Rich Bikini. Now, I have to say, when we recorded this interview the first time, Rich's microphone was loud while mine was on the level. I did not know his volume was so high until editing. I could have edited it down and tried to fix it for this re-release, but I couldn't be arsed. So there you go. And again, if you think it's too loud, just turn the volume down. And if you can't handle it, who cares? You've already downloaded it. I don't care. So anyway, Rich Bikini for the re-release. Hello. So basically, once we get rid of all the Jews, I think racism can be cancelled straight after. And we'll all... Oh, wait, we're recording. Welcome.
Oh, we are? Hey.
welcome to the podcast today. The guy who, if he was a comedian in the 80s, would be called Rich Bikini. But instead, we've got Rich Bikini. Rich, how are you doing today?
Hughie, a pleasure to be on the show with you, my good man. I've heard so much about you over the last couple of years, and it's cool to finally be talking to you face-to-face. How are you?
Does it live up to the hype?
Not at all.
No. I was going to say.
It's much scarier than I would have imagined.
But I got to ask, because of course, Ritz works for MLW, also the co-host of The Raven Effect. I think that's what it's called. The word cunt, I have to ask you about. Over here, it's used like...
It's okay.
Yeah, like it's not even like something where you go, but in America, it's as stunning as the N-word. Ooh, so
yeah.
You know what that means, don't you?
No, what does that mean?
You know, neck.
Oh, the N-word. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I actually call it the neck word during the Y.
Why is that?
Because if you ever go to say it in public, you go, I can't believe that my ex-girlfriend's going over the Asian.
Wow. I would think you'd have to whisper that, wouldn't you?
Not in the bars I go to.
Like that's the old thing in the States here, like, you know, in polite society way back when racism was still cool, that people would be like, she
married this nice fella. Oh, he's a doctor, makes a lot of money, black. And, but, you know, he's a nice guy.
There was always that.
Her sheriff's a
Right. Right. Oh, yes, that one too. That's a classic, yeah.
Yeah, but why did you think the word cunt is so unliked in America?
It's a great question. I've never really thought about it. I will tell you this, though. After talking to a couple of friends, UK friends, and, just going back and forth about things, and then talking to my mom, I was mad at my sister about something, and I called my sister. I said, she's being a right cunt, and my mom fucking flipped out, and that, like, as I said it, I realized what I was saying, and I was like, wait a minute, they're not going to fucking get that. And I was like, oh, no. So I've had my foot in my mouth ever. But at least I said it like a proper Brit, right? Like, you know what I mean? Or like from the UK, she's a right cunt right now. You know what I mean? Like, but yeah, you can't do that here.
But I have the problem of not even just I. Over here, swearing is so prevalent, I think that's the word.
It is here too, but.
No, like I remember once going to the cinema, and there was a guy in front of me with, I assume, his daughter and three friends, not his, hopefully not his girlfriend, because that would have been disturbing.
Yeah.
And he goes to the lady at the counter, he says, can I have 4 tickets for fucking Inside Out? And I thought, there you go. But, of
course... That sounds like Boston.
Fucking Inside Out.
Yeah, fucking give me 4 fucking tickets for the Bruins, huh? I'm gonna go to the guy and see the Bruins.
Is Mark Wahlberg in this?
Yeah, I might go see the Celtics. I park my car over at the pharmacy over by Harvard, and went with the guy and see the Bruins, and tomorrow I'm gonna see Celtics.
My cock's as hard as a rock here.
I'm telling you what, man. Fuck Tom Brady. I don't know, man. Brady, Tampa Bay, the Patriots, greatest ever. Bill Belichick. Yeah.
Well. Speaking of Boston, a fellow Bostonite that I've got to ask you about, well, not actually, I don't know why I said that, John Cena, of course.
Sure.
What is part of the wrestling world, I don't know. I'm not really a fan of wrestling anymore. I just like the drama around it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But because of the work that I do for the Keeping 100 podcast, yes, that's me, the real one, not Joe Feeney. I've come to realize that the real issue with pro wrestling, it's not the creative, it's not the companies, it's not the performers. The problem is the fans. And to me, I think that the fans have killed the fun of it all. And it's like I love Star Wars, but right. I'm not going to get like Star Wars tattoos or go to the films dressed as fucking characters. I just watch them and love them and can't wait for the next one. So that long question is, Rich, what's your opinion on the seemingly growing opinion that the fans, the marks, have killed wrestling?
Oh, I was having a talk about this with somebody yesterday, actually. And By and large, I think that wrestling has lost the plot. I think it's lost the plot. Every promo that I see now is like a stagey, like it went from, you know, there was stagey stuff and then there was more, you know, real stuff or whatever, right? But I feel like everything now is just so stagey and poorly acted, overacted. I think you know what I mean when you see promos, those like stagey words. Let me tell you that I am the best who is that, like that type of shit. Can anybody fucking talk anymore? Like a normal human being? You know what I mean? And that's, you know, that's just kind of a byproduct of, I guess, the way things have gone. You know, for me, from as a kid, I always knew that it wasn't on the level. It was 1986. I knew it wasn't quote unquote real, but it was, you know, it's just like watching a TV show. If they suddenly break character during the TV show, you lose interest in it. So it's supposed to be a staged fight. Can we have a staged fight? Can we just have that without all this other goofiness? Stories are obviously a big part of it. There has to be stakes. There has to be emotion. There has to be stories. But, you know, I was joking with somebody the other day. I'm like, I feel like I'm the old guy in the back at the show with my arms folded, kind of watching the band like, you know, back in my day, it was this, right? You know, the last couple of years, there have been glimmers of hope in some ways. When I did NXT, and, you know, before I got there and then even after I was there, I thought there were glimmers of hope that maybe that was the way WWE was going to go, this more kind of authentic approach, and they've completely reversed course on that. And as WWE goes, I think the rest of the wrestling world goes. You know, and I guess maybe to dive into your question a little bit more with the fans, everybody's an expert now. Everybody knows better than the people that are in the ring. Everybody knows better than, you know, everybody that's writing the show or booking the show or whatever. Nobody can just say it. It's the same thing with sports. I'm sure with football over there, it's the same thing. You know, American football over here, everybody knows better than the head coach knows. So it's, you know, I think it's an endemic of, you know, I don't even know what the word I'm looking for is. I think it affects all aspects, not just of wrestling, but Star Wars, sports, like you name it. There's always somebody who knows better than the people that are actually doing it. So.
Yep, my whole thing is, it's not to sound like all woke and stuff, but I think that because the majority of pro wrestling fans are men, I think that because they're men, they think they have to like a sport, but some people just don't. So because they don't like football or hockey or basketball or boxing, they like wrestling. So they right. then talk about it and react to it as if, oh, this is a shoot thing. And they feel like, yeah, us guys, and we're all getting intense talking about, I think that it Drew McIntyre is going to do this. And it's like, they just shut up and watch the fucking thing. I remember back in 1998, I can't remember what age it was, but what we would do with our friends is that we would sneak in a few beers and we would watch Raw or Nitro. And we're like, this is the best shit ever. Like, the Nation of Domination and The Undertaker versus Kane and Stone Cold Steve Austin versus McMahon. And at no point did we think, I bet you Undertaker's really a zombie. We thought, this is like watching a film and it's really enjoyable and fun. But that whole thing has changed. And the fan base, I think, then scares off casuals, which, weirdly enough, I think casuals are who can make it more fun.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with you on that. And this kind of that echoes something that I was saying as well to my friend the other day. I think wrestling in a lot of ways is so far up its own ass right now and doesn't even realize it. Now, my frame of reference is, I wasn't a big fan of the Attitude Era. I wasn't a big fan of the stuff around 98, 99. I hated late stage WCW. Couldn't stand it. Hated it. Turned me off from wrestling. I grew up, I get into wrestling, say, 84, and was super into it till, you know, probably 88. To me, 86 to 88 of Jim Crockett Promotions is probably my favorite era of anything that I've ever seen in wrestling. And I'm sure there's territory stuff that was just as good, and some of the old Mid-Atlantic stuff, but in real time for me, it was the Jim Crockett stuff that really stood out to me. Even though I'm from the Boston area, from Providence, Rhode Island, which is the Boston area, and technically we were WWF territory and got WWF shows every month. Whereas, you know, the NWA or Crockett only came up there like once or twice. But I think in a lot of ways, you know, I said wrestling's kind of lost the plot, right? You get it's hard for me to put into words. I like a sports based presentation. I know that there are some people that like more of a comic book presentation, but I think the long and short of it is, like, you need to honor the universe that you're in and be consistent with the universe that you're in, and I feel like we just don't see enough of that anymore. It's just whatever's going to pop the rating, you know, and the current style of matches where you have, you know, every match has to be the best match on the card. Nobody can go out and just do a match that's going to, you know what I mean? Like, when I do indie shows now, you see a million Canadian Destroyers in every match. You see all sorts of guys kicking out of stuff that would be finishers, so that, by, you know, or tables in the second match of the night. Somebody goes through a table in the second match of the night. You know, what do you do when you get to the main event? It's not, you know, it's not rocket science to me, but a lot of it is just kind of, I was going somewhere with that too, and I completely lost the path that I was going down. You'll have to apologize, Husey. I know that you want to kick me in the balls here because we had some connection issues, and it's late for you, and it's a weird time for me, and our body clocks are all messed up. So God only knows what the fuck I'm going to say.
No, but I think it all comes down to the fact that there's a lot of, what was the term, like, incels watching it, and they hate the women. And
right.
Some of this, because of the comment section on the Keep No 100 YouTube, which is, you can find on, YouTube, like, the shit they write about the women, like, just say, there's a new Chinese lady in NXT, I don't know her name.
Is that Mia Yim?
I wouldn't know.
Okay.
But basically, they were talking about her, and they say she should quit and just go into porn. Or she should show her. And you just think, or she should keep wrestling and not and earn hundreds of thousands and not worry about what some cunt fucking Mark kid thinks. Because they probably had to settle with some fat slob because that's the best they could get.
Yeah, I mean, there's an element of that. I used to see that with, you know, like around Florida, for instance, with the NXT shows, some of the fans that would wait outside the VFWs or the armories in Florida. Most of them were really cool, but you could tell that there were some of these people that are just picking everything apart. And there were a couple of fans around here that would go to NXT shows and go to indie shows and take, you know, close up photos of the women in the ring and taking pictures of their ass or whatever. And it's like, dude, the world of porn is at your fingertips. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You don't need to, it's stupid. What I was going to say before real quick was, my ex-wife and her sister, not wrestling fans at all. What I showed them, and I'm sure part of it was because I had something to do with the match, but when I showed them the Sami Zayn versus, Adrian Neville match from NXT TakeOver R Evolution. It was an easy story. I don't know if you remember it or not, but the build made sense. There was a lot of emotion behind it. And then afterwards, Kevin Owen beats up, you know, or he attacks his best friend, Sami Zayn, et cetera, et cetera. Two people, and actually, I remember my mother-in-law too, ex-mother-in-law, they watched this, and they're not wrestling fans at all. But they were able to get into the story. They were able to buy into the story. And by the middle of the match, they were invested into it. And I think that wrestling does so many wrestling things. And you can make the argument that maybe a group like AEW is super serving its fans. They don't care about everybody else. They're going to super serve the million fans or so that want what they're doing. But I think to grow an audience and for a greater audience, a lot of people look at things that happen in wrestling. Like I said, the stagey interviews, the entrances where everybody has to have a fucking pose when they come out. You know what I mean? There's always pyro. There's always lights. Nothing's special anymore. Everything's just ho-hum. Everybody gets a big entrance. Everybody has a long match. Everybody can beat everybody now. I think when you present it and you honor your own universe, things are logical within the universe that you've created, and you present it in a way that isn't, for lack of a better term, it isn't wrestling. it's just sport, pseudo sport. I think you have a better chance of getting people outside of the wrestling bubble to be able to invest, as opposed to when they see all this goofy bullshit and they're like, well, that's, and it's exactly why I got out of wrestling for a long time. Why I didn't like wrestling for a long time. It was silly. It was insulting. It was fucking juvenile. It was great if you were a 17-year-old guy in 1999 or 2000. But if you, you know, if you were, say, maybe 24, 25, 26, you've got a young daughter, you've got a family, you're not fucking watching that shit with your family. You know, and that's not to disparage anybody that was into it, any, you know, younger guys that were in it. But I just think that that type of stuff appeals to a certain segment of the population. But if wrestling is going to be bigger, and it may never be again, I'm not saying that you have to shoot blind arrows and try to get everybody. But I think I believe a more serious presentation with stakes that are easily understood by everybody without a lot of goofy bullshit, you've got a better chance of drawing other people in. Somebody who might be, you know, they might be a football fan in the UK. And if they're doing stagey promos, stagey interviews, it just comes across as silly. And I think you have a better chance of kind of growing that audience if you present it a little more, you know, authentic, I guess is the way.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Well, speaking of audience, of course, one of your fan base comes from...
Fan base? I don't have any fans.
Comes from the podcasting world. Of course, talking about being on the Raven Effect with the one and only Scotty Flamingo.
Yes.
Speaking of which, Rich Bikini would have been a fantastic sidekick to Scotty Flamingo.
Yeah, right.
So the question I'm going to talk to us about how you get into that with Raven, and what's your take on the, I guess you would call it, the world of podcasting?
So MLW, as you mentioned, so I'm the play-by-play guy for MLW, Major League Wrestling. And they've done podcasts for a long time. Raven wrestled in the original version of MLW at one point, and I got a call or text from Court Bauer, who runs MLW, and says, "Hey, you know, we're bringing Raven over. He's going to be on our platform. Do you want to do it?" So, I was like, "Sure, why not?" And initially, I had just kind of gone into it to kind of get him on board with MLW, and then. Honestly, my plan was to kind of step aside. I was tired of podcasting. I was going through a lot of personal shit with the divorce and whatever. My head just wasn't there. After a couple of months of doing that, it might have been a month or two, Feeney came in and things just kind of,
ugh.
Ah, right, fucking Feeney. But no, things just kind of coalesced and things kind of came together there. And I started having a lot of fun with it. Scotty started having a lot more fun with it. And Feeney did too. And It's grown now into something that, you know, at first I was just kind of doing to do it. And I actually, you know, those guys are my friends now. I look forward to talking to them every week. We have a lot of fun. We bust each other's balls. Sometimes, you know, we go off the reservation a little bit. But I think by and large, people can tell that we're just having fun. There's no real agenda. We don't sit down and say, oh, we're going to talk about this or we're going to talk about that. We just fucking go with it. And when I talk about authenticity, I think there's an authenticity there because it's real. You know, it's probably not for everybody, but, you know, like I said, I consider those guys friends now. I look forward to our conversations every week. And, you know, Raven, for a guy that I've never met in person, he's been awesome to me. You know, certain times when I've been down and maybe not in the best spot, I don't want to say mentally like I'm going nuts, but maybe just, where the divorce was getting, whatever, that type of stuff. He's been there. And as I said, never met him. He doesn't owe me anything, but he's been there. Call me if you need me, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and Feeney can just go fuck himself because he's a, you know, he's a proud boy, fascist supporting fucking prick. But no, I love Feeney's been a lot. I like Feeney. He's a good dude.
He's a Guns N' Roses cunt.
That's right. He's still, you know, I was going to make a Metallica joke, but you're drinking out of a Metallica mug. At least it's a Master Puppets mug. I'll give you that.
Metallica rules.
Yeah, at least it's not like, hey, look at my Saint Anger mug. With my fucking steel pale snare drum.
You know, one of the worst things about Saint Anger is, and I'm really going through this, the stress of it right now, is that I'm dealing with still trying to shift all the Christmas weight.
Sure. Yep.
And I have this one T-shirt. It's a Metallica Saint Anger shirt, but it's like it's made out of magical material where it's you can wear it at any time and it seems to make you look slim. So I won't throw it out. But sometimes if I happen to wear it out, you see that where people walk past you and they go,
well, you know what? You give it time, man. That's going to be like an ironic collector's item, you know?
Yeah, it's quite disappointing. But is it kind of surreal to you to know that it's like, ah, fuck, I've got to go talk to fucking Raven and get paid for it? Or are you used to it now?
I'm kind of used to it. It's funny because when I was in college, university for all of our friends over there, they call it college here in the U.S. Yeah, why is that? You can say cunt over in the U.K. Over there, they go to university. Over here, it's college. You can't say cunt. What's going on?
Well, that's because what was it they call it? A community college in America?
Well, there's community college, and then there's college, which is also kind of university. But generally, like over here, a college is smaller than a university.
Yeah, well,
over a university here is a bunch of colleges, basically.
Well, basically, the big deal is university, and the smaller version is college.
Okay. All right. Well, same thing. Yeah. Same thing. When I was in college, I had, like I said, it kind of not really been into wrestling for a couple of years. It was probably 96, maybe 97. I remember being down in the lobby of the dorm, and a couple of guys that I know that I'm still friends with, I walk by and, hey, what are you guys doing? And they're sitting in the common room where nobody ever sat. And they're sitting there watching wrestling videotapes. I was like, oh, no shit. What's this? And it was ECW. It was very early ECW. And, you know, for all I said about not liking nonsense, I loved ECW, at least early on, because it felt real. That was the big thing. It felt real. It felt authentic. It wasn't overacted. It wasn't stagey. Yeah, it was a lot of crass, whatever. But it was intended for, like, an quote-unquote adult audience. It wasn't meant for kids, right? And I think that's what I was saying before with, like, the Attitude Era. I would have been embarrassed to take, like, my 4-year-old kid or 8-year-old kid to go see something in the Attitude Era. Like, my dad used to take me to wrestling when I grew up. I wouldn't take an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old to go see some of that stuff because they don't really need to see some of that stuff at that point. But ECW, for an adult audience, I loved it. And Raven, I always thought Raven was cool. Never thought that I'd ever talk to him, know him at all, et cetera, et cetera. And, 20 years later or whatever, here we are. It's just weird. You know, I was never like the hugest Raven fan or anything like that, but he was somebody that I liked. So it is, you know, it's just kind of funny that, Husey, the fact that I'm in wrestling in the first place still blows my mind. I never thought I would have anything to do with wrestling ever. I wanted to be a hockey announcer. That's what I did. I was a minor league hockey announcer. I wanted to be in the NHL. Never thought I'd do wrestling.
Yeah, I remember it was probably nearly a year or two ago when I interviewed Raven, and it was kind of surreal because one minute you're thinking, because I was a total mark for him back in the 90s.
Right.
To now I'm doing my fucking Norm MacDonald Smashing Pumpkins impression for him. And
oh, man.
What the fuck's going on? And if you want to hear it, by the way, it goes,
sure. Eh,
because I think that Norm MacDonald looks like Billy Corgan. And at my, the impression would be, what if they'd switched places in life? And it was like, despite of the rage I have, you know, I'm just like a rat in a cage over here, you know.
It's not bad. It's pretty good.
But speaking of ECW, just last week I interviewed the lovely Francine, and
yes,
oh yeah,
yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She told me this really crazy story about being backstage at WWE, where she was told to basically oil up before she went in to speak to Vince McMahon.
Of course, yeah.
And she had to like come slap him on the back and sit on his desk and all this stuff. And it was really creepy and sleazy. But you always hear these weird stories about being backstage at those shows where everybody's on edge because you can get a bad name or hate or fired over the slightest fucking thing. So from your perspective, what was it like working backstage at WWE?
This is kind of my stock answer. Simultaneously, the most awesome and worst experience of my life. Surreal in the fact that you're there. Surreal in the fact that it never, you know, never crossed my mind that I would ever be there, ever want to be there. And then you're thrown into this thing, and to see the scale of what they do on a week to week basis. And I know the TV schedules changed and stuff, but when I was there, it was Monday was Raw, Tuesday was SmackDown. Other weeks you'd have a Sunday pay-per-view, and this, you know, all the trucks, all the gear, how quickly they can have the arena built and ready to go. It really is fascinating from a TV production perspective. What they do is on par with the NFL or with any major sports league. I mean, it's I don't want to say it's a well-run TV production, because that's a whole other story, but the technical aspects of it are amazing. And just to be able to move that from town to town every week was amazing. You're sitting back there sometimes at catering and you see somebody walk by that you grew up watching. Like, for example, the first WrestleMania that I worked, I didn't even do anything that was there that day, but it was in San Jose, and there's Hulk Hogan. And this was before the whole, not BuzzFeed or Gawker or whatever it was, but it was before that. I think it was before that. It had to be before that, 2014 or 2015. But anyway, there's Hogan, and I had never met Hogan. I had met Flair before. I'd met other people before. Never met Hogan. So, you know, go up to him and talk to him. He introduces himself to me as Terry, because we're backstage. I'm not a fan at this point. I'm part of the fucking thing, which blew my mind. I'm like, God damn, I used to go and, like every other kid my age, like Hulk Hogan was the big gigantic star. So as far as working there, it's it can be very, 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 very stressful. And the story that I usually tell to illustrate that is, for the longest time, now I'm a greasy Italian, right? Part, yeah, French, part Canadian.
I didn't want to mention that, but I could tell.
What, that I'm Italian or greasy?
A little bit of both. Would you like another quick interrupting impression?
Yeah, go, please.
Hey, despite of my fucking rage, I'm still just a big fat fuck in a big fat fucking cage.
That's not bad at all. That's like, it's sort of a Joe Pesci. It's kind of, you almost kind of sound like one of Fat Tony's underlings on The Simpsons. Hey, boss. Hey, you know, I can't think, I don't know even if he has a name. But anyway. So stress working there, right? Greasy Italian, French, probably half French. Anyway, my forehead, I kept breaking out, like, right. If anybody's see this, if you're listening to it, just the bridge, you know, right where the hairline is. Right there. Kept breaking out. No matter what I did, wouldn't stop breaking out. And I'm thinking, well, it's probably the makeup. When you're on TV, they put, you know, the makeup on you, whatever. And it's probably the sweat and the makeup and blah, 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 blah. I get let go, and maybe 2 weeks, at tops 2 weeks later, I was brushing my teeth, and I looked in the mirror, and my forehead overnight cleared up. And I remember looking at my ex-wife. I looked at her, I was like, hey, in my forehead. And her jaw was just like, oh, my God. That's how stressed I was. That's what it was. It wasn't the makeup. It wasn't it was the stress of, like you said, always kind of being on eggshells, never knowing from day to day, like, who you might have pissed off and why and how, but then nobody tells you. So you have heat all of a sudden, and then why do I have heat? Nobody will tell. It's there's a lot of just fucking high school bullshit, honestly. And I don't know how much that's changed since I've been there. It's been a while now, but everybody, you know, it's an audience of one over there. You don't write the show for anybody besides Vince. You don't, do commentary for anybody besides Vince. It's all what Vince wants. And if one day Vince decides that he doesn't like your haircut, or, well, I don't like the cut of his jaw, you're gone. You're out. You know what I mean? But you don't say how to. There's just so many things, and it's a weird place to try to survive in. Some people can. I think most people that do, you have to be a shark. You have to be willing to cut people's throats. Not everybody's comfortable. I wasn't comfortable doing that. So, you know, take your pick. I was either the worst fucking announcer in the world, or I didn't want to stab somebody in the back, or maybe some kind of combination of both. But I know that's a long-winded answer to what you ask, but it was very, very cool. But at the same time, it can be a really tough place to work.
Yeah, it seems like being the very nervous first day of work at a new place permanently.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I need to go for a piss, but I'm afraid to go. Am I going too many times? So can I go for lunch, or do I get in trouble? Should I make a joke? You know,
I'm going to tell you a couple of stories. So production meetings, let's say on a Tuesday, when SmackDown was on Tuesday, the production meeting would usually be at like 1 o'clock. So you drive in from wherever, you maybe get to bed at 5 a.m. or whatever. You sleep a little bit. You're back at the building by noon, 1 o'clock, whatever, for a production meeting. So you go in the room and you sit around and you wait. And the production meeting that's supposed to start at 1, after about 20 minutes, production meeting hasn't started. And somebody says, okay, just got a text from Vince. He's going to be here in an hour and a half. So you rushed to get up. You could have slept an extra hour because you drove in from wherever last night. You could have gone, finished your workout, whatever. But instead, you rushed to get there. And now the meeting that was supposed to happen 20 minutes ago isn't happening for another 90 minutes because Vince isn't here. Okay, he's the chairman of the company, right? Well, on Thursday nights, they would do a writer's meeting at Stanford. And I have heard stories where the writers say they get there, you know, we're going to have a meeting at 7 o'clock. Legitimately, where I've heard those writers have sat there till midnight, fucking 1 in the morning, before Vince finally shows up. And can you imagine? I saw this happen at production meetings. Like, you're in there, whatever, Vince isn't there yet, so, okay, well, I'm going to go and get a coffee and whatever, and then you come back a little while later, and the meeting started, let's just say, right? And you walk in. Now you're the asshole for being late. Hey, pal, where were you? I don't know, Vince. I was fucking sitting here for an hour. I know everybody's on your fucking time, right? But, I was here. I had to go take a shit, and you walk in, and, you know, again, he's the fucking chairman of the company. He can do what he wants, but there's just no consideration for what anybody else does or has to do, and then they tear the, you know, they tear the show apart and change it up until showtime. Let's put it this way, Hughes. It is way more fucking difficult than it needs to be. Way more difficult than it needs to be. It's not that fucking hard. It shouldn't be that hard.
Yeah, see, this is what I don't understand. It's like, for when you hear about how the scripts for the shows are so heavily rewritten up to the final minute, then you would expect something like I don't know if you've seen, are you a superhero guy?
Not really.
Well, when you hear about Avengers Infinity War, you hear this story about how they had like 6 different writers writing 6 different scripts, and they would film all these alternative versions of the film. And then in editing, they were like, right, take this scene from production 1, this scene from production 3, we'll edit them together, we'll do all this stuff to where you get the final product of like, oh my God, this is flawless. I could watch this in full every day, once a week. And that's my whole problem with WWE, that if they're putting all this effort into doing a show, why isn't it perfect? Why is it so like, oh, today we're going to do a fucking karaoke scene. You go, what? Well, why would you do that? To just fucking have somebody come out, talk shit. Another person gets in the face, it gets rough, you go straight into the match, it's like, I'm in.
I think part of the problem is you've got so much time that they have to fill, so there's a lot of filler. 3 hours for Raw, 2 hours, I think SmackDown's 2 hours, right? So you've got all that, and there's a lot of filler there, and because Vince will change stuff, because Vince changes stuff. for whatever reason, it'll just change stuff. You know, the other issue is that you get communication issues where things don't always get filtered down. So Bruce Pritchard, for example, one of the reasons he's there and one of the reasons he's successful, and another reason why like Michael Cole is so successful is because he's been there so long, he knows what Vince wants. So even if you don't have the story filled in, knowing based on past experience what Vince wants, you can fill in the blanks on your own. For somebody just kind of walking in there, that's a very, very difficult thing to do because you may interpret, there may be a story that's kind of ambiguous and you may interpret it that it's going one way, but Vince wants it or the writer wants it going a completely different way, but nobody's tipped you off on that. But now you're the fucking idiot because you don't read minds. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of learning by osmosis at WWE that the people who are successful there have been there for a while and they can anticipate what they want. And that's what I think is difficult for somebody who's new to that process to walk into that.
Did you personally ever have any arguments/lectures from Vince McMahon?
Not really. No. Vince would give Cole an earful, and then I would get an earful from Cole. Mm. So I get along. I thought I got along great with Cole. I like Cole. I have no problem with him. I met Vince. I had Vince in my ear a number of times. Nothing as bad as like what Mick Foley explained in his book. But it's it can be intimidating hearing Vince in your voice or hearing him in your headset yelling about whatever.
Despite all my rage, I'm still just a rat in a cage.
God, what was it? I did a show at Madison Square Garden once, which was awesome. Wow, cool. I get to call a show at the Garden. Cena comes out and he does his salute before he goes down the ramp. And I kind of waited for him. So, you know, like he comes out, he says something, he does the salute, and then he runs down the ramp. So I'm kind of waiting for him to say something, but I don't know if my feed that we had at the desk, like if the camera audio wasn't up. But anyway, I didn't hear John. So I kind of start talking. Lay out, John's talking. And my asshole tightened up like whatever. And I didn't say, and so then John salutes, he runs down the ramp. I didn't say anything until I heard Vince go, talk. All right. It's one of those things that I think about now, which is just so fucking batshit insane crazy that like I get yelled at by this fucking crazy, you know, like. Listen, I don't want to get political, but he is basically like a more charming version of Donald Trump, a smarter, less offensive version of Donald Trump. They're the same fucking guy. And Vince is just he's such a character, and for fans, they have this idea of who Vince is. And to hear that in your headset, you know, and literally, I didn't say a word until talk. All right.
But one of the things you've been very open about on the Raven Effect. Well, you used to be. I don't know if you still do as much. It's like, I'll be honest, I haven't listened to it in a couple of months.
Well, fuck you, Husey.
But you've been very open about the fact, and you kind of mentioned it a bit earlier on, of dealing with mental health problems and depression and stuff. Now,
sure.
I'm not going to ask you to go into massive detail because sometimes that can trigger certain stuff and set shit off. But
sure.
Do you have like a coping mechanism? Because for me personally, and it's hard to explain, I would never say that I suffer from depression, but I would go through depressive states where I know where I would be like, right, this is going to last 24, 36 hours. Just try and ride the wave and you'll be out of it. But that's just me. I'm very attractive.
Yeah, very handsome man. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Well, say it again.
Very, very handsome, very, very, very handsome, Hughes.
Oh, thank you. But for you personally, can you tell when you're about to go through like a mental health a blip, should we call it, or do you just does it just happen to you suddenly, and do you have any coping mechanisms?
Sometimes stuff just pops up. You know, I've never been, you know, like major depressive, like, you know, I want to kill myself or, you know, major panic attacks where I can't do anything. But I've dealt with anxiety all my life and probably didn't really realize it until maybe 10 years ago, maybe maybe about 10 or 11 years ago, before I finally realized it and I think really started to deal with it or try to deal with it. I used to self-medicate. Used to, you know, I was never a daily drunk or anything, but like I would go out and I'm socially anxious. So you get a couple pops and you get a couple of beers and now all of a sudden you're the life of the party and you can talk to people. And that's no good either, having to rely on that. I found, you know, the older I get, like I've gotten back into drumming. I've mentioned on the Raven Effect, like I bought an electric drum kit. I was always a drummer, always played drums. And just moving around over the last, you know, 15 years doing hockey and stuff, I just couldn't bring drums with me. I'd been living in apartments. But anyway, I finally bought an electric drum kit. That helps me out. I find writing helps a lot. You know, just taking out your notebook and sometimes just writing what's pissing you off or what's got you down. Journaling, I guess, is what it is, which is what's suggested. I don't do a whole lot of meditation. I probably should do a little bit more. And, you know, honestly, sometimes it sounds silly, but honestly, sometimes just chilling with the cat for a little bit, picking up the cat, laying her on my chest, she starts purring. I mean, that's therapy right there, man. It's relaxing. Sometimes it's just putting on a song you like, or you know, perhaps, you know, they have different apps now where there's, what is it, Calm or whatever, where it's like raindrops for 30 seconds or that type of stuff. There are all sorts of different mechanisms that work for people. And I've tried a lot of different things. Some things work, some things don't. Some things did work and then stopped working. The medication being, you know, trying to work with your doctor to make sure that you're on medication that's working for you, it is big. But just talking to people as well is huge. And that, you know, last summer when the pandemic started to hit, I felt like I was just finally coming out of this fog that I'd been in for a couple of years. My wife and I split up. That really threw me down a spiral. So, you know, if you put all these things together, here I am with my, I don't want to say with my dream job, but with a really cool job making pretty good money, to all of a sudden now I don't have that. And then, you know, a year and a half later, my wife and I split. So, I mean, that would be enough to, I think, fucking break a lot of people. And luckily, you know, I never went back to alcohol or anything like that, but I was in a bad way for a while, man. I didn't want to talk to people, wasn't motivated to do anything. I was still doing the MLW stuff and you know, some of the stuff for Defy in Seattle, but, and still doing my regular shoot job as well, but just kind of like, I don't want to say going through the motions, but I was able to just kind of plow through, but I didn't feel a lot for a long time. And so when the pandemic hit, I felt like I was finally coming out of this fog, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, now you can't travel anymore, now you're gonna be home all the time. And that I want to say probably by May or June I went through a pretty bad depressive state for maybe like a month and a half. And what really, really helped me out was a friend of mine just being able to talk to her a bit and just share some experiences and bounce things off each other. And you know, that's probably the, you know, that helped me out a lot this past summer. So I know it's a lot to take in. But if anybody that's listening that's going through any of those issues, talk to a doctor, get, you know, try to get on medication that you can, but talk to somebody. It doesn't even have to be a therapist or a counselor or a pro, or whatever, a friend that'll listen. And you don't want to overburden your friends and go, oh, I don't want to bother my friends. If you have a close friend, a friend will listen. They'll listen and they'll help you get through it.
I'll edit that last part out and just play loads of fart noises or something.
Good. Yes, please.
But yeah, for me, at the start of the pandemic, it got really bad for me because I've in the past gone through really bad cases of like hypochondria.
Mm-hmm.
And the way, and I'm not going to be like, the things are hoax, it didn't happen. But it was so overblown. And the symptoms were so varied. They were like saying, oh, if you've got aches and pains, you've probably got COVID. And then you start panicking because especially for me, because like I've been 6'2" since I was about 11. Wow. And I'm 36 now. So my back and legs have been killing me for well over a decade. So you're thinking, oh no, I've got the fucking virus. Or they say, if you're tired, it's a symptom. And I've been tired since I was 14 because I love disco dance and stuff. And then to say, like, always coughing, clearing your throat. I was born with a husky voice, even as a baby, so I'm always having to clear my throat. So I've got all the symptoms. There's this virus in the air, and you're thinking, what the fuck's going on? Am I going to die? And then you're like, but I've been like this for fucking since I was three. And it got to the point where, like, I was washing my hands to the point that they were bleeding, and I just thought, fuck this. I'll never die, ever. And if I do die, it better be from AIDS.
AIDS, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Would that be from, you know, fucking lots of dirty women? Would that be from shooting intravenous drugs? What would the AIDS be from?
Both. A little bit of both.
Okay. Well, if you know.
Having sex with an intravenous drug.
Oh, you could do that too. Yeah, man. Like, I know what you're saying about the virus. Early on, I actually think I probably had it. And there are a couple of us that think that, like, oh, we might have had like an early strain of it last February, actually. And it was after I met Feeney for the first time in Philadelphia. MLW did a show in Philly, and we actually had signs up with a handshake with the Ghostbusters thing over it, right? Like, and I have a picture of it somewhere, but it said, aggressive flu season, no handshaking. Oh, yeah, this is fucking great. And I ended up not too long after that with a cold and a cough and whatever. So I don't know. It might have been an early strain of that. The difficult thing is that it does affect everybody differently. And, like, listen, a lot of people, well, it's just the flu. Yeah, it's just the flu, but it's, like the sign said, it's an aggressive flu, and it may not affect you or me as bad as it's going to affect somebody else, and we've seen that. But dude, I think about that stuff all the time. Like, I go to the grocery store and I'm looking around, ah, fuck, that guy doesn't have a mask on or whatever. Like, I don't want to go, or like you walk by somebody and there's two people and they're talking to each other, no masks, and then you kind of walk it through. It's like, I want to hold my breath when I'm walking. Eesh. You know what I mean? I don't want to breathe in for the next 30 seconds. So I'm with you, man. Like, thinking about some of that shit, and you're like, it can drive you crazy if you let it.
Yeah, but for me, in a weird way, it sounds so stupid, but this COVID thing, it's the best thing that's happened to me in years, because I'm not always such a ray of sunshine. No more Mr. Nice Guy. But it's really made me appreciate the thing. Like, I can't wait just to do something like go get a Subway sandwich. And by the way, this isn't my normal hair. This is COVID hair. This is me trying to tidy it up. It's fuck. I haven't been able to get a haircut since October.
I'm wearing a hat for a reason, dude.
That's the other thing. I can't wear a hat because I'll take these off for 2 seconds. But you can see I've got one of those big fucking Irish heads.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a fucking, that's like a helmet head.
Yeah, so I can't even wear hats. But yeah, my whole thing is it's made me sort of realize that, it could be so much worse. So once this is over, after our glorious leader Trump has saved us all, he's a great,
great handsome guy, okay? And the Chinese are terrible, terrible people. They treat us all terribly.
Hey, real quick, I got one for you. Go watch the video of him basically inciting the riot last Wednesday.
Yeah.
And listen to him when he says, now I can't remember what he says. There's something that he says when, here I am making a joke and I can't remember what it is. He sounds like fucking Jerry Lewis. And now I can't, what is the word that he says? We're gonna go riot, and I can't think of what the word is now. Here I am fucking making a joke and I blew it, but anyway, never mind.
But one of the things about Trump is that I gotta be honest,
look away, bitch. Anyway,
but I think it's amazing that even right now he has not that we'll get into political stuff, but the fact that he still has defenders at this it's like, that's fucking insane. Like, just accept defeat, move on, and let's get on with the hating of Hunter Biden.
Well, of course. And, Hillary's emails, we still have to check those out. And let's not forget that all the Democrats who are killing and eating children, drinking their blood for adrenochrome. That's, you know, we need to get to the bottom of that.
Well, I'll tell you something that is going to get the conspiracy people going up. Did you ever see the People versus O.J. Simpson?
Yeah, good stuff with John Travolta and yeah.
Straight John Travolta. Well, those guys, the team behind.
You know, somebody just told me recently that John Travolta is that he plays for the other team, and I would not that there's anything wrong with that. I was just surprised.
Perfectly fine way to live.
I have no problem with that, but my response. What are you talking? He flies jets. He flies 730s. He can't be gay. Anyway,
nobody who dances like that can be gay.
Right. Right.
Not Tom Cruise, not fucking Russell Brand, and certainly not John Travolta. But
I think Russell Brand probably gets lots of ass on both sides of the coin there. But anyway,
I wish he was fucking dead. But yeah, but the people who made the O.J. Simpson show about 2 years ago were making a Monica Lewinsky trial show. And conveniently, it's gone dead.
There's really?
All this stuff about Clive Owen was going to be Clinton, Bill Clinton, or Hillary. he could play both.
Mm.
This fat bitch was going to be Monica Lewinsky. I'd probably still take a base, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's one of my hilarious jokes there. And all this casting had been done. I think Julia Roberts was in it. Maybe not, but they'd cast all these people and then just...
Nothing, huh?
And you just think that's just going to set it off all over again.
No, yeah, yeah. Let's not talk about politics. Exactly. Let's not do that.
But just as we're beginning to wrap up here, of course, Rich, you do commentary for MLW. Based on the Keeping 100 YouTube page, it seems like it's a very positive time for MLW. They've come out of the pandemic. Everybody's loving this show. They've got a great roster. As this vaccine is rolling out, fans are slowly going to be allowed to attend shows. That big hoaxer, Fauci, he's a hoaxer, okay? He has said himself that by later spring, I think he said spring, or maybe it was autumn, one of them, full show attendance will be happening again.
Mm-hmm.
So, and for me personally... Like, I'm so dying to get out of the house. I would even go see a female comedian. That's how much I want to get out of this fucking cunt place.
Oh. That's asking a lot of you, Husey.
Yeah, you know, I hate Amy Schumer. I wish she was dead of AIDS. But I think this is a great time for, I think, attendance-wise, this is going to be the next boom in all sports. So talk to me about the future for MLW.
Well, I know that there's a couple of live dates that are kind of on the books, Philly, Chicago, and I think Dallas, but it's spread out throughout the year. Whether or not those dates happen as planned, I think the first one that's kind of like half booked is like April 11th, and I think that's in Philadelphia. But, you know, we already know everything's going to change, so who knows when we'll actually be back run live again, but... I'm having a lot of fun doing MLW. We're taking some creative liberties here during the pandemic, and it's been a lot of fun with Jacob Fatu as the world champion. Anybody that hasn't seen Jacob Fatu, I mean, this guy is money. And the same thing with Alexander Hammerstone. I mean, these are two guys that are going to be, I think, have long runs in the business and be big stars in the business. I'm enjoying it. I'm having fun. I'm curious to see where some of the stories go because I'm not always up on that stuff until some of it happens, which is part of that's by design. Part of it's, you know, by preference because I want to be surprised when I see stuff. For, you know, everybody in the UK, I know that we're on, if you go to MLW.com, you click on where to watch. Besides YouTube, there are a couple of channels that you can catch MLW on in the UK and in the States as well. We're having fun. So, you know, not only there though, I'm looking forward to getting back out on the road with MLW, but hopefully getting back out to Seattle for Defy Wrestling. They do a really, really awesome job. If you haven't seen Defy, the presentation is it's really, really cool. It's a little bit of a different look, but it's traditional, but it's current, and I think it's really cool. And you know, my friend Ali in Qatar, Qatar Pro Wrestling, he's looking at running again, I think in October. And listen, man, you know, you say to most people, hey, man, do you want to get on a plane, fly 14 hours to, you know, wherever in the Middle East, to Qatar? And a lot of, oh, no, I can't wait for a fucking 12-hour flight right now. Honestly, man, like, fucking sign me up. I can't wait.
Yeah, like, we were talking about it, that how previous Christmases, our whole thing was, we've got to go to the bar, we've got to go to the after party, then we'll go to the show, we could do this, go to the cinema, we'll be hungover, we'll come home, we'll watch fucking Christmas Vacation again, all yeah. this shit. None of that could be done last year, to the fact that I was not only excited about going to the McDonald's drive-thru, but I almost had an anxiety attack at the idea of going out of the house in a car, like, oh God, there's going to be a monster out there. But it's all I know is that the better times are coming, and it's going to be great, and nobody's allowed near me. And this is yes. before this, especially those of a separate race. And that's not what I meant to say. I meant to say, like, in the relay race to the...
Well, that's what I was going to say. They're doing the 100-yard dash, you're in the relay, and you don't want you know, you can't have everybody from those different races. It would just be too much confusion. I know what you're saying. I guess.
Exactly. There's a lot of black people that do those as well. But just as we come to the final question, and this is something that always fascinates me about people, I want to know, what's Rich Bocchini's guilty pleasure song? Or should I say group now? And by guilty pleasure, I mean the type that just say you were out in the car or you had people over and it came on your iPod, you'd be like, oh, what the fuck? That's a goof song. So what's the one that makes you, what's the singer that makes you slowly want to admit to genuinely liking?
Can I give you a few?
Yes, you may.
Well, there's a couple. Let's see, do I save the most embarrassing one for last, or do I give you that first and then kind of go slightly better from there? You tell me.
I say the gayer, the better.
Let's see. Breakaway by Kelly Clarkson. I think it's a great song.
Never heard of him.
What?
That's one of the jokes about her weight gain.
You know who Kelly Clarkson is, of course, right?
Oh, yeah. She's...
Okay, all right. I'm just making sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's Breakaway by Kelly Clarkson. I like that song. Let's see. Huey Lewis and Gwyneth Paltrow. The cover of Cruisin' that they did. Yeah, good song.
I have not heard that.
You'll have to YouTube that. It's a cover of that, you know, I don't know if it's an Otis Redding song or whoever. It's like an old 70s song.
Smokey Robinson, actually.
Is it Smokey Robinson?
Certainly.
Is it? Okay. Was it Smokey Robinson that just did the cameo? Where he didn't know what Hanukkah was. Happy Chinooka. Was that Smokey Robinson?
Yeah.
Happy holy Chinooka. Fuck. Yeah, happy. Well, I never heard of Chinooka, but happy, like, holy fuck. You know what? Let's see. Last but not least, I'll go with Vanessa Carlton, her first record. And actually, there's a song, maybe her second record. But I have a reason for that. And the reason for that is if you listen to the drumming, holy shit. The drummer on her session stuff is incredible. His name's Abe, I think you say it, Laboriel or Laboriel, Abe Laboriel Jr. If you really listen to those songs and you listen to the drumming's, it's tasty. You don't really notice it unless you're a drummer, but it's some real, real tasty stuff of her stuff. So here you go, Vanessa Carlton.
All of those were the wrong answer. The correct Guilty Pleasure song is Guilty by Barbara Streisand.
Oh, see, I've never been a big Streisand fan.
I bet you'll love this song after you listen to this. But before you go listen to that, Rich, is there anything you'd like to plug for all these lovely, lovely Trump supporters listening?
Yes, of course. You can find me on the Twitter, at Rich Bocchini, RichBocchini. Find me there. Weekly on The Raven Effect with Raven and Fuckface Joe Feeney. And, of course, as we mentioned, Major League Wrestling. Check out MLW on Twitter, at MLW. On YouTube, just search MLW Fusion. if you want to check it out from there. And, you know, then go to MLW.com if you're curious where to watch. YouTube's always the easiest. But if you do want to see what channel it's on and you want to watch it on your TV, kind of like in real time, go to MLW.com and click on where to watch. So I want to plug that stuff. Plug Defy Wrestling out of Seattle at DefyNW on Twitter. And, of course, as I mentioned, QPW, Qatar Pro Wrestling. Looking forward to go back there, among other things. I was looking forward to, hopefully, just it's a good 2021, and hopefully everybody's healthy. Hopefully we get past this stuff, and, you know, we can all get back together and you know, enjoy some wrestling or go to some shows and stage dive and be idiots. So, I'm, you know, I'm just looking forward to that, man. So, but you know, I want to plug you, of course, for the you know, the weekly inanity that you email to Raven. Very colorful language that Husey writes his letters with, and some would say borders on the limits of good taste, but very well done.
Well, I thought that this whole interview was very well done. And Rich, thanks so much for your time, and stay safe, and hopefully at some point in the future we can actually meet and I'll give you a minute or two of my time.
You know what? If I have 30 seconds when I see you, you'll get 10. So, all right. I think that's how we'll do it. But no, Husey, thanks a lot, man. It's a pleasure to talk to you. And hello to everybody there in the UK. And hopefully, yeah, man, hopefully we'll see you soon.
No problem. This will be up in about this will be out in about 2 or 3 weeks. I'm just trying to stockpile.
Sure. Yeah.
So
yeah.
That I can relax.
Yeah, fuck. I get that, dude. No doubt.
All right. Thanks very much, and speak to you soon.
Yeah, hey, man, sorry to keep you waiting, too. I work overnights and whatever. So
I'm not a problem.
I figured I was 2 o'clock. I can be up by 2. And then I was kind of like, I was up watching the impeachment, and then the cat laid on me. And next thing I know, it's like fucking, you know. So anyway, man, I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, Rich. And I do hope you do, a lot better with your health and stuff like that. I love the bus balls, but I don't like to see people suffer. Well, actually, no, I do like to see people suffering, but you seem like a decent guy. So anyway, it is a very weird time. We're back off the lockdown. Not a lot of free time. Finally got a computer, so I'm playing GTA. Most of my Saturdays have been taken up going out, getting on the piss. So I don't know when the next episode's going to be, but I'm sure you all can't wait and are subscribed and all that sort of slurry shit. But anyway... Thank you for listening to the episode. Stay tuned for the next one. Check out Huge Entertainment on YouTube. Check out Keeping the 100 on YouTube. And it's Hughie. Bye-bye.